What's up, weirdos?
Hey, yo.
Me? Shit. Jeez. I got me a little something rolled. The lights are low, and we're about to chop it up with Abigail on the Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast.
Okay, okay.
A safe space for weirdos of all shapes, sizes, colors, and creeds to relax and speak their peace.
Speak their peace.
So grab your glass of wine and grass the chief as I get off the mic so the main weirdo can speak. Peace.
Peace, God.
What is up, weirdos? You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. And this week, we're talking about my relationship with vulnerability. Now, just to like start out, so I recently took this course. More on that later, definitely more on that later, so keep a heads up for that episode, where this woman was talking about how vulnerability is courage. And it got me thinking that I don't know if I necessarily agree that vulnerability is courage. I think vulnerability is a type of courage, but I don't know if I agree with the sentiment that vulnerability is courage. It seems very rigid to me, and it's too like stiff. It's too rigid. It's too this is this and this equals this, and so this therefore this is, you know, this is what it is. And I don't know if I necessarily agree that in order to have courage, you must also be vulnerable. I think that there are many different types of courage and things of that nature, but I do think that vulnerability is a type of courage. And I think it takes courage to be vulnerable. So that's kind of like where my headspace is at with that. And I think it gets very sort of convoluted or, well, okay. So when you say something like vulnerability is courage, to me, that just seems like it's too easy. It just seems very, very flat, and it doesn't ring true to me. I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. Especially when you start talking about, like, I also think that there are different kinds of vulnerability. So, you know, that's where it can get very, that's where it, to me, it's a little bit more complicated than just like vulnerability is this or vulnerability is that. That just seems very dismissive and very, just too easy, really. It's just too easy. And it's too, it just doesn't seem like truth, and it seems almost like a cop out. Like you're just, it seems very dismissive and very much like a cop out to me. Like it's like you, like there was no real thought put into it. It's just sort of a throwaway line that people will say that's kind of bullshit. And so that's why I don't necessarily agree with that statement. Like I said, I do think that it takes courage to be vulnerable. So please don't misunderstand me. Like, I do think that it takes courage in order to be vulnerable. And I think that there are many different types of vulnerability. So what do I mean by like many different types of vulnerability? I think that there are at least four different ways of being vulnerable. You know, there's physical vulnerability, there's mental vulnerability, there's spiritual vulnerability, there's emotional vulnerability. And to me, so like if I can come up with like four different ways that, you know, you can be vulnerable, then there obviously has to be more as well. Like, I don't think that those are just like very strict like rules or types of vulnerability. I think that there can be other ways of being vulnerable. I just sort of wanted to group things in those categories because it's easier for my brain to process stuff in those categories. And then from those categories, I can get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So like with physical vulnerability, like you can be sexually vulnerable with someone. You can be physically vulnerable with someone when, you know, you're angry and you want to, you know, like, you know, hit your pillow or scream into your pillow. That's a type of physical vulnerability that you would show somebody if you felt the need to, if you felt like you could. So that's kind of what I mean by like physical vulnerability, and that there can be multiple different types of physical vulnerability within that one category of physical vulnerability. Just like there can be multiple different types of emotional vulnerability and spiritual vulnerability and mental vulnerability. It's just sort of like the way that my brain, like it's just, that's just the way that my brain sort of functions and like separates things, because it's easier for my brain to process things in those different categories. If you like to categorize things in a different way, that's totally fine. That's just how my brain works. And I think in today's world, it can be really overwhelming to think about all of the different types of vulnerability, ways that someone can be vulnerable. And I don't necessarily mean just vulnerable like with another human being. You can be vulnerable with your dog. You can be vulnerable with your cat. You can be vulnerable with yourself. There are multiple different ways to be vulnerable. I mean, like there's a certain level of vulnerability that occurs when, you know, if you're in therapy, for example, like that's a level of vulnerability that some people are just a lot more comfortable with. I personally am incredibly comfortable with like my therapist. And it's because, you know, she has created a safe space where I feel like I can be vulnerable. Probably not vulnerable in a physical way or like a sexual way. But I can be physically vulnerable, because like she will let me, like if I'm just really, really angry, like, you know, she'll let me like squeeze a toy or like a stress ball or something, or like a pillow or like those kinds of things. And that's a way that I can be physically vulnerable with my therapist. It's really emotional vulnerability. And I think that you can be vulnerable in multiple different categories at the same time. Like it's not like, to me, if you can be like, it's not necessarily like if you are physically vulnerable, if you are being physically vulnerable with somebody, then you are not being emotionally vulnerable either. Like you are doing this one, like that's, No. That's just not how I see it. I see it as like it can be fluid. You can be vulnerable in multiple different ways, at the same time. And I think that that's where it gets really, really overwhelming. At least for me, it does. It gets incredibly overwhelming because like my emotions will just like take over, and especially if I'm in a setting like therapy where sometimes I am just overwhelmed by my own emotions, I don't know how to like get it out. And so it's easier for me to be like physically vulnerable in like a situation where I'm just incredibly overwhelmed, because I can just squeeze something really tightly, or I can like I can squeeze like a pillow really tightly or a stress ball, or I can, it's not always easy for me to communicate effectively when I'm incredibly emotionally overwhelmed. And so sometimes it's easier for me to be more physically vulnerable, and like where I just start crying. And that I think is like an example of when, you know, I'm being emotionally vulnerable, but I'm also being physically vulnerable. And obviously there are other ways to be vulnerable. I mean, if you're in a fight with somebody, and you know, it looks like they're gonna hit you or something, like that's a way that you're physically vulnerable. Those are scenarios in which physical vulnerability really scares me. because I don't like physical confrontation. I'm just not, I've always been very scared of like physical confrontation. My go-to is really to sort of diffuse the situation and do whatever I can to diffuse the situation and not go to that place. That's not to say that like I've never been in a place where I have, you know, wanted to like just, you know, I could just strangle you right now. Like that's of course that's happened. Obviously that's happened. I'm a human being. Of course that's happened. But I don't know, you know, so if I'm being physically vulnerable with somebody or they're being physically vulnerable with me, there is sort of like, I hesitate to say set a boundary because I'm still working on like setting boundaries like that with people. And it's really hard for me to set boundaries with people. And it's a lot easier for me to set boundaries with myself than it is for me to set boundaries like with other people. And so that's another reason why I sort of like keep my circle of people to a very small group, because I'm still working on that and I don't want to put myself in a situation where I could be vulnerable in a physical way. Because I have had like those situations where someone was being physically vulnerable and it was in a like a more negative way, and I got hurt. And so it's a tricky place for me to like go and be in. And so, you know, that's really difficult for me. But I think a really key part of vulnerability is trust. And I don't have a lot of trust in a lot of different things. And I also don't have a lot of trust in people. I don't have a lot of trust in a lot. There's a lot that I don't trust. I'm a very like skittish, hesitant person. And I don't trust easily. And so when I find someone like, say, for example, like my husband, who, you know, I feel like I can trust on a very deep level, and whom I do trust on a very deep level, I tend to kind of keep that person relatively close, very close to me. And I don't really branch out very much. I don't branch out very much. I don't get out, like they say, you know. I don't get out much. And I don't, because I don't trust people and I don't have a lot of trust in like the world. And so I keep that circle of not just people, but of things that I trust to a very, very tight knit like group of things and or people. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, you know, you can count the number of people that I trust on one hand. And that's just because I'm very skittish and I have a lot of like trauma, and, you know, I've been through quite a few different things in my life, and it's just easier for me that way. And I like it that way. I'm comfortable with that and I'm okay with that. So it works for me, kind of a thing. And okay, let me clarify something. So we've established that there are like various and unsundry forms of vulnerability: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, you know, those kinds of things. I don't think that it's like a tier system. I don't like that. I've said that before on the podcast. I don't enjoy that line of thinking. It doesn't work for me. I think if anything, it's more shades. And it's more just like, Like there's not, one is not more important than the other. And I don't, because I don't like that way of thinking. I think that they're all equally important. It's just a matter of, you know, in what way are you being vulnerable? And at what time are you being vulnerable? And how are you being vulnerable? And why are you being vulnerable? Who are you choosing to be vulnerable with? And those kinds of things. And I think that, you know, I personally, I have struggled with vulnerability my whole life. I have struggled with vulnerability. From a very young age, I was pretty much a recluse from a pretty young age. I had like friends that, or I had people that you could call friends, people that, you know, like I spent the night at their house, or birthday parties I went to, or those kinds of things. But I never really felt like a full connection with the people that, you know, I called friends, or the people that other people called friends for me, if that makes sense. And that was a real struggle for me. And it took me a really long time to sort of like break out of that. I was always somebody that was, you know, I never really made a lot of sense, because it wasn't difficult for me to like stick my hand out and say, "Hi, I'm Abigail. Like, you know, you want to be friends or whatever?" Like, you know, like that wasn't really difficult for me. It was that I didn't really know what to do after that. And so I would like clam up, and I wouldn't know what to do. And I didn't know how to be vulnerable, and I didn't know who to be vulnerable with. And so I was kind of just vulnerable with everybody. And that was sort of like how I chose people. And I didn't understand why. I understand now why I did that, because that was the only way that I knew how to do it. And nobody had ever explained to me really that, like, it's really a choice, and you get the choice to be vulnerable with people, and they also have a choice to be vulnerable with you. And so sort of like choose wisely kind of a thing. And that was a really difficult thing for me to learn how to do, because, well, the other part of it too was that I had very little emotional regulation. I was very, 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 very moody. It was really, really hard for me to regulate my emotions. And so I got hurt a lot, in a lot of different ways by a lot of different people, because I didn't know, and I didn't really understand that you can't really be vulnerable with everybody, because you set yourself up to get hurt more often than not. And that was a really difficult lesson for me to learn. And so I kind of went from one extreme to the other, where I, instead of being vulnerable with everybody, I was vulnerable with nobody. And I just sort of clammed up, and that didn't work either. Oh my gosh, that was a nightmare too, because that didn't work either, because, you know, then at some point, you know, it just starts seeping out of you, and you just, like, at some point you have to be vulnerable, you know, with somebody. You need that vulnerability. You need that like connection with somebody. And it didn't really matter who it was at that point. Anyone would do. And so it took me a really long time. It took me a very, very long time to begin to understand how to navigate that. And it was really hard and really, really painful because I also tend to do that thing where instead of like blaming other people, I blame myself and then I went into like, you know, one of those death spirals where, you know, I'm taking personal, like where I, you know, it's like, well, maybe I'm not taking enough personal responsibility in my part in the play. Maybe I'm not doing this right. Maybe this really is my fault. Maybe, all of these things. And it just sort of like seeps out and it ricochets and it just like explodes. And then any and everybody who's sort of like in the blast radius gets affected by it, which is not good, not healthy, not good at all. That's just what happened though, you know, and it took me, like I said, a very long time to come to a realization that, you know, it's almost like this was pretty easy for me to learn, was that not everybody is going to like you and you're not going to like everybody. That was a much easier lesson for me to learn than who I choose to be vulnerable, like choose wisely who you choose to be vulnerable with. Out of those two lessons, not everybody liking me and me not liking everybody was much easier for me to learn. For some reason, that was just the easier lesson for me to learn. And it just took me a long time to learn that other lesson. And like I said, it was really hard because it caused a lot of chaos in my world. And I didn't understand why, because I thought this was what you were supposed to do with people. I thought this is what it was. I thought this is how, like, what's the point? What's the point in talking with somebody if you're not going to be vulnerable with them, if you're not going to, in some way, what's the point? Like that, I craved that connection and that need to be that human need of connection and that human need of, you know, belonging so much that it was very conflicting. It was incredibly conflicting in my brain because, you know, I craved that, and I did not know that that's what I was craving at the time. I just knew that I didn't understand what the problem was. Like, isn't that the whole point of like being friends with somebody, is that you can be vulnerable with them and you can talk to them about anything? And, you know, like, isn't, like, if we say that we're friends, like, isn't that part of what being friends is? It didn't make sense to me, like, why people didn't want, like, why I was being rejected so much. It wasn't until later that I learned that lesson. And it caused me a lot of heartache. It caused me a lot of pain because I simply just didn't understand. I didn't know that you really need to be very careful with who you choose to be vulnerable with. Choose wisely. you know, take caution and take heed when you are being vulnerable with somebody. And also, because it was never an issue, like when people were vulnerable with me, and that was the other thing, it felt very one-sided. It felt like everybody could be vulnerable with me. People would open up to me and tell me all of these things about them, and they would be incredibly vulnerable with me. But the second that I was vulnerable with them, it was like all over. And I didn't understand why that was. It made no sense to me. And to this day, that still doesn't, you know, I will never understand why, you know, some people just feel like it's okay for them to just tell me their entire life story. Like there is a pride that I have in that. Like I feel like that's a good thing, that people feel like I'm a safe person to talk to. And I do have some pride in that, you know, I am a safe person that somebody can talk to and that they can really, you know, open up to me in whatever way they feel like they need to. I just have to be much more careful about who I choose to be vulnerable with and who I choose to share those sides of me with, because I was hurt so much in the past, and it didn't make sense to me as to like what that dynamic was and why that dynamic was the way that it was. And I think a lot of that stems not just from like emotional vulnerability, but, you know, like mental vulnerability. Like you can be mentally exhausted. Like it was mentally exhausting for a very long time for me. It was like just everything was just so mental. I was just exhausted, just mentally just exhausted. Just felt like, you know, I was just overwhelmed and just completely and utterly drained all the time. And, you know, it wasn't until I found a really good therapist, and the therapist who to this day I, you know, go to, I will never go to anybody else. sorry, I feel super bad for my therapist, but I refuse, because I found like my one person, and I'm just like, I refuse to go to anyone else. And I do to a certain extent feel bad but I also don't feel bad. There is a part of me that feels bad because I feel like, you know, she is only one person, but I chose her. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that I basically pay somebody to be my friend and to be honest and open, and somebody that I get to pay to be vulnerable to. And they can't judge me for it. And, you know, I didn't really understand that that's really what therapy was until I found a therapist that I really trust and really, really like clicked with and like connected with. But that's like in a nutshell, in a very, very, very general nutshell, that's essentially what therapy is. And so like on the one hand, you know, I do feel a little bit bad about it. On the other hand, though, I don't. I don't feel bad because she's one of the people in my very tight circle that I trust, and she's not going to bullshit me. She's created a safe space for me to go and to be vulnerable with, and it's okay to be vulnerable with her, and I know it's safe to be vulnerable with her. Now that's an example of where, you know, it's not necessarily safe or appropriate for her to be vulnerable with me, kind of a thing. She can be, and she has in certain ways, but it's not as much of a two-way street as, say, like, it would be with somebody who you would consider just like a regular friend, somebody you're not paying, you know, to be there for you. And so there is that element to it where it is a little bit different. And I understand that, and I'm okay with that, because it works for me. It works for me. I'm not somebody who has a lot of friends because, like I said, it's really hard for me to be vulnerable with people. Now it's very difficult for me to be vulnerable with people. And to a certain extent, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I think that stems a lot from the fact that, like, I have found somebody that I trust to be vulnerable with. And so, like, I have a place to be vulnerable with somebody, whether that's my therapist or my husband. And so it, you know, it doesn't always feel like it's almost like those needs are being met in those two areas. And so I don't necessarily feel the need to be completely vulnerable with everybody else anymore. And I don't know if that's a sign of growth or if that's a sign of I'm just really stingy or if that's a sign of me being cautious. I'm not entirely sure what that's a sign of. Let's take a break and maybe we'll figure it out when we get back. Probably not, but we might. So let's take a break. What is up, you guys? I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor for this episode, Newsly. It's an audio app for iOS and Android where they basically take articles from all over the world and all the trending topics that are on the web at any given moment, and it reads them to you in like a natural voice, like a human being would. It's basically the first time in the history of the internet where the entire web becomes listenable. It's really cool, you guys. They have all different kinds of articles from all different kinds of topics so that you can like stop scrolling and start listening, which I really love. You can follow all the topics, whatever topic you want to talk about or listen about, from sports, science, Bitcoin, you know, even the Kardashians, like everybody. They have all the latest articles and it reads them to you. So it's super easy. They also have podcasts, which is why I'm talking to you guys about it, because our podcast, along with podcasts from over 50 other countries, are on the app. So that's really, really cool. You can start listening there as well. You can download and use Newsly for free right now at www.newsly.me, or you can use this link in the description. And when you use the promo code P1X1EP0DCAST, that will give you a free month of premium subscription to Newsly. So go check it out, you guys. And thank you so much to Newsly for sponsoring this episode. And we're back. And we are talking about my relationship with vulnerability. And I think, excuse me, so sorry. I've had a little bit of time after the break to kind of like think about it. And I think it's a sign of like all of them, all of those things. I think it's a sign that I am very cautious. I'm very skittish, like a fucking deer. I think it's a sign that, you know, those needs are being met. And so I don't really feel the need anymore to be vulnerable with everyone. And I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like, I feel kind of relieved that I don't have to feel like I have to be vulnerable with everyone anymore. There is an immense amount of relief there because it's exhausting when you're trying to be vulnerable with everyone in some form or fashion. You know, I think it's a sign of growth. I do think it's a sign of growth on my part that I don't feel that need anymore to be vulnerable with everyone. And this is where it's like weird, because I feel like I'm relatively vulnerable with you, you know, as the listeners. And I don't, maybe that's also sort of like, this is an outlet for me to be vulnerable and to just kind of be that person, in a very controlled way. And so I wonder if there's an element of that into it as well, where it's like, I have all of these different areas where I am able to be vulnerable, like I like to be, because I do, there is an element of like, I do enjoy being vulnerable with people. It brings me a sort of sense of connection to other people. And it brings me, yeah, it really brings me like a sense of connection with other people and a sense of joy to a certain extent, that I'm able to share that with people. So I think it's good. I think we're on a good path. Now I am somebody, so I sort of mentioned this before about, I am somebody who people tend to be very vulnerable with me as well. And they feel like they can be, for some reason, I don't really know. I've had people that I don't know at all just like come to me and like start talking to me about, you know, like they'll just share their life story with me. I do take a sense of pride, like I said, in that, because it does make me feel good that, you know, I am somebody who gives off that safety vibe, I guess, or a certain amount of safeness. And I like that about myself. I do. I enjoy that. It can be very awkward. It can be very strange. I do my best in those situations to connect with people that are being vulnerable to me. And I do struggle still sometimes with just like the amount of information that I am vulnerable about in those situations, just like about me personally, because that's one of the ways that I connect with people, is I will be vulnerable with them even while they're being vulnerable with me, as a sense of bonding and like connection, so they know that they're not alone in those moments and in those times. It's one of the ways that I do it. It's not, I wouldn't necessarily say that it is always the best way to do it, because I can tend to, I feel like sometimes I can tend to like hijack the conversation and then it becomes all about me. And that's not my intention. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm truly just trying to like create a bond and let you know that like you're not alone. Somebody else has been through this as well. I'm here. I'm doing my best to understand, and those kinds of things. I'm still not a great, like, effective communicator, so it can be a struggle for me. We're working on it. We are working on it. Being a more effective communicator in those moments. And I heard something very recently about, so I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Don't Look Up, but there's this like line in the movie where Timothée Chalamet's character is like, can I be vulnerable in your car? And it kind of struck me as like, it struck me as very like humorous in that moment. And I know that it's not meant to be humorous, and I use humor. Well, maybe it was meant to be humorous. I'm not sure. It was very honest. It was just a very honest line in that film, and it was very open, and it was also asking permission. Like, is it okay for me to be vulnerable in your car? And it struck me, yes, as humorous, but it also struck me as slightly what is the word that I'm looking for? Enlightening, I guess, a little bit, where it was like, I didn't know you could do that. Like, I had no idea that that was allowed. Like, I didn't know any of those things. And it was almost like I got permission from this movie to be able to be like, oh, I can do that. Like, I can ask people if it's okay. And I think that it shows like a level of respect. Sorry, there might be dogs in the background. I think that it shows like a level of respect that you can have for another individual or individuals, while to let them know that like, hey, I am going through something and I would really like, I feel safe in this space with you and I would like to share it with you. Is it okay for me to do that? And I didn't know that was allowed. I didn't know that you could do that. And that seems rather odd, I think, just like from my own point of view. Like, it seems rather odd that like I wouldn't know that that's okay to do. Or that, you know, that was appropriate. It just seemed like a very respectful way to do that, to like explain and like be very open and honest and like, and tell people, you know, that I do feel safe with you and I want to say, and I want to be vulnerable and I want to explore this with you while I have you here. Is it okay for me to do that? And then it popped up again. Not that same clip from the movie Don't Look Up. But it was in another like TikTok video that I watched, and it was about, and there was this woman and she was talking about you know, creating a safe space to be vulnerable with people and just talking about how it's okay to like, really, when you need to be vulnerable with somebody, it's better to ask them if it's okay to do that, because it shows a level of respect that you have for them. It also shows that you care and that you are willing to, you know, you respect not only them, but you respect their decision, and it gives them a choice. It puts the ball in their court and it allows them to have a choice and saying, yes, it's okay. Like, please share, like, please be vulnerable with me. I'm in a safe space to do so with myself. And to share with you in not necessarily a group setting. Well, I guess a little bit of a group setting. I'm talking more about like, you know, when there's one person. But it can, I feel like this can apply to many different scenarios in which there might be many people. And it just really struck me as, you know, very, very new, this like new idea that I just never thought about before. It kind of made me feel like an idiot a little bit, because it was like, well, obviously you can do that. And it would be better if you did do that, because it does show a level of respect and it does show a level of empathy and it does, you know, it does give people a choice to be able to say, no, I'm not really in a place where I can handle somebody else being vulnerable right now. It helps to establish healthy boundaries. Like, it's all of these things. It does all of these like, you know, really good things. And it made me feel like a little bit of an idiot. It really did. It made me feel a little bit stupid, because I was like, well, of course you can do that. And as one does, like that's the most respectful way to approach that situation. Why didn't I think of that? And I feel like so stupid and just like, oh my gosh. But I do that to myself. I do that to myself when something like that obvious strikes me as being very nuanced or being very open or something like that. I tend to be harder on myself about it instead of being like comforting to myself and saying, no, yeah, this is a good idea. You should definitely do this. I do that, but that comes later. That part comes later. I more beat myself up first. And I say, you're such an idiot, Abigail. Like, why didn't you think of this? This is obviously a great idea. You know, because I think it seems so obvious to me and just so blatantly obvious that it's like, well, duh, like, of course. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just how it like registers with my brain. It's not necessarily the best way for it to register with my brain. That's just, you know, what happens kind of a thing. But yeah, and I feel like it's a really good rule and a really good way to effectively, excuse me, I'm so sorry. My allergies are just like killing me. Where was I? Oh yeah, it's a really good and like effective way of opening that line of communication, but also, you know, setting those healthy boundaries and being able to allow room for those things to grow and flourish, I think. And I don't know, it makes me happy though. Like, it makes me happy that I found this like new tool. Now, okay, that is much easier said than done, because to a certain extent, I don't know if I am really capable of doing that with someone, say, like my husband, which is very strange and not great, because he should be the one person that I shouldn't should on myself. He is the one person that I feel, you know, deserves that level of respect. And like, if anybody in my life deserves that level of respect, it's my husband. And I'm not always, I guess, that respectful of his needs and his emotional state in those scenarios, because what I end up tending to do is I will just like unload, and I just sort of like expect him to kind of be there and like help me handle it, which is not good. That's not something that I, you know, as I'm thinking about this now, like that's something that I definitely need to work on, and I need to be much more respectful, because he is, if anybody on this planet in my life that is deserving of that level of respect and those boundaries, it's him. And I want to show him, you know, part of me being a good wife to him in my book is doing those things, is showing him that level of respect and courtesy and gratitude and those things to him, and extending those courtesies to him. And I don't really know why I haven't chosen to do that. I think it might be because it's still such a new concept to me that I, it's still in that, like, it feels weird stage. It feels awkward. It feels weird. It feels stupid. It feels like a very, and I think that all of those things, all of those reasons are just simply because it's new. It's a new idea that I have yet to implement in those ways within my relationship with him. And that's, I think, a lot has to do with the fact that I don't necessarily feel like I have to be vulnerable with him all the time, because I'm getting a better handle on, like, you know, on my vulnerability just in general. And so I don't necessarily feel the need to be vulnerable with him all the time, because most of the time I'm just happy, which is a good thing. And so, but I think that I do definitely need to try that the next time that I'm feeling like I need to be vulnerable with him, because I think it would really help our relationship, just in the effective communication like category. And it can only, like, I mean, what's the worst that happens is that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really work, and it, you know, it kind of backfires on me. And he's like, of course, like, don't ask me a stupid question like that, you know, like, and then in which case I will, you know, proceed to explain why I chose to do that. And then he'll be like, oh, okay, but you don't have to do that. Because we kind of have this like unspoken agreement where like, that's not really necessary in our relationship to like, to have that. But I would like to try it. I do think I would like to try it and see kind of where it takes us and what happens with it. So that's like a new like experiment that we're gonna give it a shot and see what happens. I'll let you, you know, I'll inform you and I'll let you know kind of where that goes. Another way that like, so like on a more positive note, another way that I, you know, really enjoy being vulnerable with him, and one way that I can be vulnerable with him in a way that I can't really do with a lot of other people, or I don't really feel safe doing with a lot of other people, is being spiritually vulnerable with him. I really enjoy being spiritually vulnerable with him because it's one of those things that we, as a couple, sort of like it bonded us together, was our spiritual vulnerability with each other and how we think about spirituality and religion. And we're just very much on the same page about those things. And it, so that's a way of vulnerability that I think that I do more often than I would say be like emotionally vulnerable, where I'm just like, you know, like a, you know, a basket case, just like crying kind of a thing, just like ugly crying. That doesn't really happen very often. Being spiritually vulnerable though is like, it's always exciting for me to be spiritually vulnerable with him. Because it's just, like I said, it's something that we really, really connected very early on in our relationship about. And, it just really makes me happy to be able to be vulnerable like that, and for him to be vulnerable in that way with me as well. It's just something that we have really, you know, connected on a very deep level with each other. And so that makes me really happy. That's one of those like vulnerable, that's one of those ways that I am vulnerable, in a spiritual sense, that I can be with him, that is very comfortable, very safe. And it makes us both pretty happy. And I like that. I like that about our relationship. Now, I definitely can't do that with everyone. And I know that. And that's okay. And I've always known that. I've known that for an incredibly long time. I was a little bit, well, not a little bit. Let's just be honest, Abigail. I was a complete and utter shit when I was younger. And I was able to like read a room very well when I was younger, and able to, like I understood from a very young age that like you just couldn't talk about those things with everybody because it can be a very touchy subject for people, and it can strike a nerve, and then people tend to get very defensive about it. And so I knew that from a very early age, so I didn't really bring it up all that much. Now, that's not to say that I was perfect at it, because I certainly was not. I definitely had my moments where, when I was younger and I was still trying to figure out how to like emotionally regulate, I would just sort of like throw my hands up and go, I don't understand. Like, this is not right. This is not okay. Like, blah, 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 all of these things. And I would sort of lose it a little bit. I've definitely gotten better as I'm getting older. But yeah, I was a little shit when I was a kid, especially when I was at a private school. Oh my gosh, you guys. It was, yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for being spiritually vulnerable when it wasn't exactly appropriate to be. But I did learn. And like I said, it didn't happen very often. It wasn't like I was causing chaos all the time. It was just, you know, there were moments where I definitely got under people's skin about like spirituality and things of that nature. So, but we worked on it and, you know, we learned, lesson learned kind of a thing. Yeah, I think that's kind of it for vulnerability for me, at least right now. So if you liked what I said, if you didn't like what I said, if you would like to be vulnerable with me, you can always email me at manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. You can reach out on Twitter at @mpweirdopodcast or the TikTok and the Instagram, @main_weirdo1. You can also follow us on Patreon. If you'd like to donate to the show and like help keep this going, that would be really great. On Patreon, Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast. Also, if you don't want to donate monetarily, that's totally fine. You are more than welcome to leave us a review. Rate us and review us on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. That would be really, really helpful. It just really helps boost the numbers and gets the word out about the show. I really appreciate you guys listening. As always, guys, be kind and stay weird. Love y'all. Bye.